It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. That was a rare recording of Piccalilli Rag by Pittsburgh composer George Rieg. Pittsburgh has a rich jazz history from the mid-20th century to today, but few people know about the Steel City's contribution to jazz between the days of Stephen Foster and the bebop era. It turns out some wonderful ragtime compositions came from Pittsburgh in the early part of the 20th century. Recently rediscovered compositions of ragtime tunes will be performed by the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra at this year's America's in Concert event on Saturday at 7:30 at the Hillman Center for the Performing Arts. I'm joined now in Studio A by Tom Roberts, noted pianist and conductor of the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra. He's here to talk about his music and the lost ragtime of Pittsburgh. Tom Roberts, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much, Paul. I just was arm wrestling with Billy Bragg out in the waiting room, and it seems that punk ragtime has got a lot more guts than punk rock. We're taking on all comers.
Let's start by having you give us an overview of where jazz and popular music were. What stage they were in between those days of Stephen Foster and the bebop era?
Well, there is no jazz yet. I mean, although if you think about Sidney Bechet, great New Orleans clarinet, soprano, saxophone player, all the way up into the 1950s, he referred to his music, which we would call jazz, as ragtime. There was a whole sling of musicians who still referred to their music as being ragtime. Ragtime was simply the popular music that had grabbed our national attention starting around 1899 and all the way up to about 1917. And in 1917, ragtime was kind of pushed out by a bunch of upstarts from New Orleans called the Original Dixieland Jazz Band. And then the Jazz Age is born in 1917.
What was it about ragtime that grabbed our attention? Was it the tempo, the feel, the beat? What was going on?
You know what made people very excited about it was the way that the rhythms were displaced. The whole idea of what ragtime is ragged time. So rather than, say, a march being like da 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 da,
everything's
all
on
the beat,
yep.
Da da da, in ragtime, pop pop ba da bum ba ba bum ba 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 bum ba ba da ba bum ba da ba da ba bum ba da ba, and the effect on people was as if their heart had skipped a beat. And we're going to make the punk ragtime versus the punk rock connection. Mothers were appalled by this music.
Scandalous.
Scandalous music. Dangerous music. The Musicians Union forbade its members from playing this music because
really?
It was dangerous. It would cause excitement amongst young ladies and make them do things that they shouldn't do. It was really breaking against the Victorian mores of its period. But it had been around most likely. There's little signs of it even in the 1870s, and it's probably existed even before then.
So what was Pittsburgh's contribution to all this during this time?
What's very interesting, and this is one of the things that we're going to bring out here in this concert, is when I was a kid, I was doing research, and when I first discovered this music, and I heard it on the radio. I heard it on KDKA. Oops, I'm not allowed to say that. Jack Bogut. And Jack Bogut had played this thing as a little kid. And I started wanting to look for some kind of connection with Pittsburgh. And as I looked through all of the books, there was nothing listed in Pittsburgh. Even recently, there was a book that's called That Americana Rag that listed every town in the United States that had a composer, a publishing company, an arranger, some connection. Tiny little towns in the middle of nowhere are listed here. Nothing for Pittsburgh. So it's an interesting history. It's an archaeological dig to start finding all of these things that were happening in Pittsburgh. A number of years ago, I did a lecture for the Allegheny Y series about Pittsburgh in the 1920s and unearthed all this interesting stuff that was happening in Pittsburgh in the 20s. And it's a very natural thing to jump back the next generation and try to find all of this interesting stuff that was happening in Pittsburgh. We're not at the end of the stage. We're at the beginning of this. But we do find that there's a number of interesting composers. The one thing that
I was going to ask you, who are or were some of Pittsburgh's ragtime
Well,
composers?
What you just heard was the Piccalilli Rag, and
right.
Probably the most prominent of the Pittsburgh composers during that era was a guy by the name of George Rieg. George Reed was born in Allegheny City, which is today the North Side. And I have to say, I have to thank John Canning from the Allegheny City Society for coming up with all this information about George Reed. Reed's family owned a saloon up in the North Side, which is now the home of the North Side Leadership and the North Side Chronicle office. This is Reed's Hotel and Saloon. It's quite a prominent place. And if you think about this, this is something I should have mentioned earlier. Say you're sitting in a hotel. Do you turn on the radio in 1912?
No.
Do you plug your iPhone into the system?
No.
You got an orchestra there. And depending upon how opulent the place was, hotels, restaurants, bars, everybody had a live orchestra playing. And one of the measures of Reed's success was he had his pieces orchestrated by major publishing firms around the United States. And so you could walk into a hotel in Colorado, and perhaps the orchestra there would be playing one of George Reed's pieces. Now, Reed died in 1918. We're not sure if he died during World War I or if he died during the flu epidemic that year, but his career was cut short. But he did have quite a number of pieces. He's probably our most prominent performer. And this Saturday, we'll hear three pieces by Reed. The other things that we're going to hear that are incredibly exciting are pieces that haven't been heard in over 110 years. The Pittsburgh Gazette March, written for the old Pittsburgh Gazette by a man named Carl Bruno. We can't find any information about him. But the other one is, did you know that Pittsburgh had an Italian language newspaper?
I did not know that, but that would make sense because there were a lot of immigrants that came here from there.
Right, and nationally published weekly Italian language newspaper called La Trinacria. And a man by the name of Mario Salvatore Rosierto, a fine Irish name if I've ever heard one, wrote a piece in honor of La Trinacria. And it was published up on the North Side in the city of Allegheny at that time. And we're going to be playing this as well. So it's really exciting to find these connections. As I looked as a kid to try to find something that happened in Pittsburgh, to try to make my emotional connection to these things, and they weren't there. It's really fun to find that there were these guys that were here, and they, you know, we know where they lived. We know where they worked. Rosierto became the band director at Pitt during the 20s.
No kidding.
It's really cool to find. And this kind of connects us to our past. It will move us into our future. It's great to know about all of these things that were going on.
And it connects us to this great musical genre. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is noted pianist and conductor of the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra, Tom Roberts. Recently discovered compositions of ragtime tunes will be performed by the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra at this year's America's in Concert event. That's happening Saturday at 7:30 at the Hillman Center for the Performing Arts. Tom, how did you discover, where did you find the sheet music for all of these ragtime compositions and then pull together this mini orchestra to play the stuff?
The stuff was found in a variety of places. The first stuff I discovered was on eBay, of all places. Someone was selling orchestrations on eBay, and I won a few of them. And then the Carnegie Museum, the Carnegie Library, pardon me. The Carnegie Library, the main branch in Oakland, and the fine folks in the music department have this wonderful collection of Pittsburgh sheet music. And within this Pittsburgh sheet music, we discovered bits and pieces of all of these things. This is where La Trinacria comes from. This is where the Pittsburgh Gazette March comes from. And then I used to work with Vince Giordano, if many folks watch Boardwalk Empire. I'm trading Vince arrangements for Boardwalk Empire in the next season for a number of these really rare, some of these Pittsburgh rags, as well as some of the Latin American things that we'll be doing on this concert as well.
I understand that the Ragtime Orchestra, it's going to be performing authentic orchestrations from Scott Joplin as well as material from turn-of-the-century Harlem. This sounds absolutely fabulous.
Oh, it's wonderful because I had done a project a number of years ago with a guy named John Storm Roberts as a music historian, and he had come across this information that Harlem, before it was an African-American community, was a South American neighborhood. And so when the black musicians started moving in the teens, they needed to fulfill the needs on these gigs for tango dances. So Jim Europe had a group called the Clef Club, and they had brought in musicians who had experience, a man named William Tears, in writing Latin American-inspired music. So you're going to be hearing Harlem Tango, tango music as interpreted in the teens by Harlem composers and musicians. And it's beautiful music. It's got a great rhythm to it. It's very exciting. It's very sensuous. And it's just a lot of fun.
Is there something about ragtime that lends itself to, you know, kind of helping this orchestra make this connection, make this marriage of these two different styles of music with a relationship and an overlap, but still to kind of meld them together?
It was – well, these were the two – these were multiple very popular dance styles. This ragtime era also coincides with the advent of social dancing on a big scale, and you had – Vernon and Irene Castle, who were like the Fred and Ginger of their day, who would do dancing exhibitions and teach people how to do popular dances. And so as they started running out of their turkey trots, fox trots, grizzly bears, and all these things, they started looking to South America for the mashish, for the tango, and they would bring in music from South America, music of which we will be playing on this concert.
That sounds exciting and fascinating.
Brazilian ragtime.
Mm. Delicious. There is an interesting aspect, I think, about your orchestra and this whole the very fact that you have the name Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra. Allegheny City, of course, is now known as the North Side, as you pointed out. It was its own city. It was a separate city from Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh. It was incorporated into Pittsburgh, I believe,
1907. I think
just after the turn, or a few years after the turn of the century. But what is it about Allegheny City that was there something going on there that sort of helped create it and make it a hotbed for ragtime and the cutting edge popular music of the day?
Well, the name, calling it the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra, was simply because I live in Allegheny City, and most of the musicians from the orchestra were Northsiders who wanted to participate in the orchestra. And this is the orchestra's 11 pieces, classical musicians, people from various symphonies. But there are a number of these people. We're finding a lot of these composers from that era are Alleghenians. George Reig was from Allegheny. Reese David was a member of the Jewish community in Allegheny City. Mostly it was because of, you know, we Alleghenians today still like to think of them as a Victorian community. You know, we've got all these old houses from the 1890s and earlier, and it just has that atmosphere of another era.
Mm. And was there anything in particular that was going on there that inspired the music? Because as you said, so much of it came out of that part of what is now that part of Pittsburgh, but it then was, again, Allegheny City.
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily just be exclusive to that area, but it was just – this was popular music. This was your Billy Braggs. This was your – whoever your artist du jour is. This was popular American music at this time.
I understand that the Allegheny Ragtime Orchestra has performed for screenings of Charlie Chaplin films. What can you tell us about this?
Well, they have not performed yet for the Charlie Chaplin films, but I have composed a number of pieces, works along with Charlie Chaplin films. For the Pittsburgh Symphony last year, they had commissioned scores for some Chaplin films, and this has become my other passion, are these Chaplin films. They're marvelous things. And so the orchestra will be playing for silent films at the Hollywood Theater, where I'm one of the co-curators of a silent movie series with Chad Hunter. So look at the Hollywood soon, and you'll have the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra playing live with maybe some Buster Keaton films.
It's interesting how much people enjoy those silent films today and how much more thought goes into creating the music that accompanies the display of those films in the modern age. A lot of times they were accompanied way back when, maybe by an orchestra, but it might be just a single piano or an organ. And a lot of the tracks that you would hear years ago, there wasn't that much thought going into it, but now it's changed, hasn't it?
It has, and you were right. There could have been anything from a pianist all the way up to a small symphony orchestra. In fact, a theater where Louis Armstrong played actually had a symphony that would accompany these silent motion pictures. Yeah. And there was an industry that was created of orchestrations that were specifically created to accompany moods. And so you would look for something like, oh, moments of domestic bliss. And then you would choose this little piece and you'd play 2.5 minutes of this. And the studios would issue what were called cue sheets. And they would have suggested musical numbers. And a lot of them were things that would have been popular tunes of their day that the audience would have recognized. I just watched Spite Marriage with Buster Keaton. And there's all types of little cues that are lost on us now. But if you were an audience in 1929 and you saw that Buster's kind of scared to talk to the actress, there's a song called I'm Afraid of You playing in the background. So there is some thought for some of these silent films. But I love the fact that I can sit and I can really try to create something that really matches every tiny little bit of action that particularly Chaplin does.
Well, it augments the action on the screen, and it can enhance the comedic timing of some of these films.
Absolutely. If you have music that's inappropriate, it destroys the film. And if you have something that brings you into the film, you go into a dream.
You have the sheet music for the Piccadilly Rag right there with you.
I do. I have the cover. It's a neat little dedication to this, to Mr. Rudolph Volkwine, Pittsburgh without the H, PA. And this was the original owner of Volkwine's Music, which still is in existence out by the airport right now. It used to be in Allegheny City on the north side. And it's very nice to have these connections between 100 years ago and today, things that are still in existence, things that have kind of disappeared beyond our grasp, and they're just not too far away. We can still reach back there and pull them back before they're completely lost.
My guest has been noted pianist and conductor of the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra, Tom Roberts. Recently discovered compositions of ragtime tunes will be performed by the Allegheny City Ragtime Orchestra at this year's America's in Concert event on Saturday, 7:30 at the Hillman Center for the Performing Arts. Tom Roberts, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up, touring the fall foliage, it's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.